Good evening and welcome to St. Columba's for our Monday in Holy Week service. It's a great delight and joy to welcome so many people as we begin our journey together towards the cross. This year we are immensely privileged to welcome the Reverend Dr. James Harnish, who's come all the way from Orlando in Florida and has travelled thousands of miles to be with us for Holy Week. And well done to all of us for travelling a few short miles in East Belfast to be here. James has been working in the parish, I understand, to where the Reverend Brick Gilmore has many associations and grew up, and both of them are very close friends indeed, and delighted to welcome you to St. Columba's this year, and also to welcome Reverend Brick Gilmore, my very good friend and colleague from Knock Methodist, and members of Knock Methodist Church. All of you are very welcome, along with visitors from our local community. We follow the order of service as before you, which will proceed without announcement, and after the service, the Men's Club are very kindly hosting refreshments at the west end of St. Columba's, and I do hope that all of you can wait behind to catch up one with another and to meet our preacher more informally over tea and coffee. The collection at all of our Holy Week services, both at lunchtime in Knock Methodist and here in the evening time, is being divided equally between Vision Aid Overseas and the larder. Here in St. Columba's, we have been supporting Vision Aid Overseas, which is connected with offering support to those in Africa who really need spectacles most earnestly to help them with day-to-day tasks. And the larder is, of course, a most worthy cause here again in East Belfast with a food bank to help give food to those simply who can't afford it in our own community. So I ask you to be generous in your giving throughout this entire week. So we turn now to our service sheet. May the grace, healing, and forgiveness of the Lord be with you this Holy Week. O Saviour of the world, who by your cross and precious blood has redeemed us, save us and help us, we humbly pray. We gather together this evening to continue our journey with the Lord through this Holy Week of our salvation. The Monday in Holy Week is the day in which we remember Jesus overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple precincts. This is a reminder to us that God's house is always to be essentially a house of prayer. So we ask God to give us pure hearts devoted to Him, that His voice may be clearly heard, and that our priorities this week will be the priorities of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you sent your Son to reconcile us to yourself and one another. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, through you we put to death the sins of the body and live. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. The Collect for Monday in Holy Week. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered into the glory before he was crucified. Mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of his cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we remain kneeling, we join in the verses of Psalm 36. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness stands like the strong mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, shall save both man and beast. How precious is your loving mercy, O God! All mortal flesh shall take refuge under the shadow of your wings. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. They shall be satisfied with the abundance of your house. They shall drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the well of life, and in your light shall we see light. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. O continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to those who are true of heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, nor the hand of the ungodly thrust me away. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Please be seated for the reading.
The reading is taken from Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Thanks be to God.
Christ. Christ Jesus was in the form of God, but he did not cling to equality with God. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and was born in a human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which is very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they led him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life?"
Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. What a great joy it is to be a part of these services, to share together in this shared ministry between these two churches. I shared with folks at the noontime service today that I am an unrepentant Methodist, and yet inside me there lurks a very high church Anglican. So to have this privilege of sharing the life of these two congregations has been a special gift for me, and I'm grateful for the invitation, for the opportunity, and bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ in the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church, our Bishop Ken Carter, who has preached at Knock Church, and those who share with you in this significant, sacred journey that we make this week. I've never experienced an earthquake. I don't think you have either. They're not known to happen in Ireland. I have experienced hurricanes. I tell my brother in earthquake-prone California that I would take a hurricane any day because I can see it coming. I know when it's on the way. Earthquakes come totally unexpected, and they shatter many of our assumptions. That's what a friend told me. She had experienced the 1989 earthquake in San Francisco, and she said, "We take for granted that the ground we walk on will always be there. But during an earthquake, even the most basic assumptions cannot be counted on." Earthquakes shatter the common assumptions of our lives. They disrupt the things we assume to be true and shake our expectations. They change the way things have been into something that they might become. That's what earthquakes do. And although in Mark's gospel we have no description of the resurrection itself, we see it through the eyes of the women who arrived there. In Matthew's gospel, the writer says there was a great earthquake. It scared the living daylights out of those Roman soldiers that were guarding the tomb. There's another earthquake in Matthew's gospel. It happens on Good Friday afternoon when Jesus takes his last breath. Matthew records, "The earth shook and the rocks were split." Even the created universe shakes at the awesome injustice of Good Friday, the power of evil overcoming everything that was good. Even the earth shakes on Easter Sunday morning with the word of the risen Christ. And I'd submit to you, we live our discipleship between the two earthquakes. In the context of the earthquake on Good Friday, the earthquake on Easter Sunday, both of which in their own unique way shatter our common assumptions about the way things are. We like to think that things are stable, unchanging, always will be the way they've always been. And yet these earthquakes shake us, unsettle us, mean that things are not the way they've always seemed, and call us to a new way of living. Mark doesn't say that the women heard or experienced this earthquake. They were, however, there for the one on Good Friday. They were there by the cross through every ghastly, gory, bloody moment of it. They were there when Jesus gasped with his last breath and died. They felt the earth shake. And it had to have shattered their assumptions about Jesus. Having followed him across these years of ministry, they must have come to believe he really is the Son of God. Perhaps they really believed he is the fulfillment of the Messiah. Perhaps they believed some of what we shouted on Palm Sunday. Perhaps this Jesus is the one who will come to change things. And now that assumption has been blown to smithereens. The best life that was ever lived has been nailed to the cross by the power of evil. The old hymn says, the powers of death had done their worst. It had to have shaken these women to the very marrow of their bones. And so they make their way to the tomb on Sunday morning with a very clear assumption. They knew what to expect. They assumed that they would find a dead body. They assumed they would find the lifeless corpse of the one they had followed. They assumed that the large rock would be so big that the only question they asked along the way was, who will roll away the stone for us? And suddenly, all of those assumptions were blown away when they saw the empty door of the tomb. And they experienced the presence of the risen Christ. It totally upended everything they believed about what they would find and invited them to see the whole of life and creation in a whole new way. And it was there that they heard that first word from the empty tomb. You remember Neil Armstrong's first words when he landed on the moon? One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. We remember it because it's the first word that we ever heard from the moon. And here we have this first word from the empty tomb. And the word is, don't be afraid. The angel says, he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. They did not see Jesus at the empty tomb. They received the promise that Jesus was already on the road out ahead of them, headed toward Galilee, and they better get moving to catch up if they really wanted to see him, because he would be there. He goes before you. It's the earth-shattering, earth-shaking word of the hope of resurrection coming out of the earth-shaking reality of the cross. We live with them both. And perhaps it's to say, he goes before us into the life that we live. I mean, Galilee, who would want to go back to Galilee? There were too many old memories there. Too much of their past was there. All of their old assumptions were there. But the angel said, he's on his way to Galilee, and there, in the ordinary place of your very ordinary life, that's where you will see him. Sometimes I think we'd like to believe that we'll see the risen Christ only in some spectacular mountaintop experience of revelation. But the angel said, you'll find him out there ahead of you on the dusty road that leads back into your ordinary life. That's where you'll see him. My last congregation before retirement had a beautiful chapel, small chapel. As you come into the chapel now, you see a stained glass image of Jesus, his hands outstretched like this. Beneath him are the words, "Come unto me." And as you experience the chapel right now, it feels that Jesus is saying, "Come here to me. Come to this table and receive this bread and cup. Come to this place of prayer. Come to this place of the water of baptism. Come here. Come unto me." And there's truth in that. But you may not realize that the chapel had undergone renovation. And in fact, the whole design of the chapel had been reversed. And when the chapel was first built, that stained glass image of Jesus was not above the altar. It was above the door that led out to the busy street that led into downtown Tampa. So that we saw it as we left the church, not as we were coming into it. And I've sometimes wondered if maybe the artist meant to say, "Come unto me out here. Come unto me on Platt Street in the traffic and the rush of the city. Come find me out here in your own Galilee, because the risen Christ has already gone before you. And if you have eyes to see, you'll find him there. He goes before you. In this Holy Week, we remember that he goes before us to the cross. It became the inevitable result of the life that he lived. Anyone who lived the way Jesus did, who loved the way Jesus loved, who cared the way Jesus cared, who served the way Jesus served, sooner or later was going to run head-on into the reverse assumptions of a hard, cruel world. And he leads us toward that cross as well. I don't think most of us, I know I, would be just as happy if Jesus had not said, "If you want to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross and follow me." I sometimes wish Jesus had not said, "If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, you will find it." Try to save your life. Hold it tightly. Squeeze it to yourself. Try to protect it, and you'll squeeze the life right out of it. But lose yourself in the love of God revealed at the cross. Lose yourself in something larger than your own self-interest. Lose yourself in the life that is revealed in Jesus, and you'll find it. You'll find real life in the love and power of the gospel of Jesus. And it has the power to shake the assumptions by which you've been living and to help you live in a whole new way. To follow Jesus always means following him to the cross. I'd submit to you that that isn't just something we remember during Holy Week leading up to Good Friday. It is, in fact, the primary motif of the Christian life of discipleship. Our life in following Jesus is always headed toward a cross where we die to some old assumptions, to old attitudes, to old bigotry, to old prejudice, to old pride, to old-fashioned meanness. Somewhere along the way, we are always being called to make our way to the cross, to surrender some old part of our life so that our new life might be born. To be a disciple is to be a person who lives in the deep awareness that he goes before us to a cross. And he calls us to go that way too. Just recently, a young adult said to me, "What does it mean to pick up your cross? What does it mean to go to the cross?" And in an unaccustomed moment of something like inspiration, I said, "You know, that means living and acting the way Jesus did that took him to the cross. We're called to be followers of him. He goes before us to the cross. And then, praise God, he goes before us into the new life of resurrection." They were shaken when they found this empty tomb. They never expected it. They only expected things to be the way they've always been. Dead people stay dead. And they discovered a whole new way of being, of thinking, of living. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, there is whole new creation. All of the old assumptions of our lives are transformed by the power of God so that we see our life, we see our world, we see our living in a new way, shaped by the good news of the risen Christ. He goes before us into the life of the resurrection. Good Methodists among us have to quote Charles Wesley. I often say, I love to tell Baptists in America that everybody becomes a Methodist on Christmas and Easter because they all sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and they all sing Christ the Lord is risen today. Thank you, Charles, for the gift. And I think my favorite line in Christ the Lord is risen today is when Charles writes, "Soar we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head, made like him we rise, ours the cross, the grave, the skies." The great promise of resurrection is that we follow the living Christ into this whole new life of resurrection, so that old things pass away and new things become a reality in us. That's earth-shaking stuff. In a world where we've all too easily fall so easily accustomed to the way things have always been that we give up on the way they might be. But we follow this risen one who goes before us. One of my preacher friends loves to say, Easter means tomorrow is never just another day. Easter means tomorrow is never just another day. It is the new life to which we are called. Shaken by the powers of evil that nailed Jesus to the cross, and shaken by the earthquaking word of the risen Christ. New life is there before us. One of my best friends died suddenly, unexpectedly, of a heart attack. And at his memorial service, I'll never forget his son telling the story of how my friend would be up early in the morning with his cup of coffee and sometimes his Bible and sometimes his New York Times, but he would be up early in his comfortable chair in the family room. And his little grandson would come running down the stairs, climb up into his lap and say, "New day, Papa, new day." The earth-shaking word of the resurrection is that the risen Christ is always saying to us, new day, children, new day. Like him, we rise. Ours the cross and the grave and the skies. May it be so by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
Join together in the affirmation of faith. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, for he trusted himself to God, who judges justly. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls.
Let us bring to our Father our prayers of intercession through Christ, who gave himself for the life of the world. For forgiveness for the many times we have denied Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for grace to seek out those habits of sin which mean spiritual death, and by prayer and self-discipline to overcome them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for Christian people, that through the suffering of disunity there may grow a rich union in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For those who make laws, interpret them, and administer them, that our common life may be ordered in justice and mercy, let us pray to the Lord. For those who still make Jerusalem a battleground, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have the courage and honesty to work openly for justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in the darkness and agony of isolation, that they may find support and encouragement, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who, weighed down with hardship, failure, or sorrow, feel that God is far from them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are tempted to give up the way of the cross, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that we, with those who have died in faith, may find mercy in the day of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. We join together in the family prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Our Holy Week services continue tomorrow at 10 a.m. Holy Communion here in St. Columba's, 1:15 tomorrow lunchtime service in Knock Methodist, and 8 o'clock here tomorrow night. We do hope that you can join us once more. Let us pray. Christ draw you to himself, and grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this night and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.